Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 15 to 17, and may be found on page 1082 in the Bibles. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's a great joy to be back with you after a few weeks' holiday. I hope you've had a really good summer. And if you haven't, do let me know about that as well. I know it's been slightly traumatic for one or two people in the church family, but hopefully the hospital has done its job and we're all okay. In our all-age services over the last year, we've been looking at that creed we just read line by line together, thinking about what it is that Christians from the very beginning have been declaring to be the content of our faith together. And this weekend, over the next two all-age services, so beginning of October, beginning of November, we are thinking about the Holy Spirit. When we said the creed just a moment ago, we said, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." Is that going to work? Harry, you're going to have to do it for me from the back, buddy, because it does work sometimes, but apparently not today. I believe into the Holy Spirit, actually, is what the Greek says. That is, I lean on. I don't just believe in abstract thing. I lean on, I rely on, I trust in the Holy Spirit to look after me. I believe that the Holy Spirit is God, as much God as the Father and the Son, which of course he is. But we don't talk very often about the Holy Spirit in church. And there's a really good reason for that. It's because he doesn't want us to. In the Bible, which the Holy Spirit has given to us, he's told us what he wants us to talk about. And mostly he wants us to talk about Jesus, which is why that's what we do. But I think there is a danger if we never talk about the Holy Spirit that we forget him, that we don't treat him like he is God, which he is, and that would be a bad thing. So we're going to think about the Holy Spirit together this week and the next two all-age services, and we're going to ask for his help as we do that together. Should we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you that you are delighted to be with your people by your Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would open our eyes to your word this morning, that you would give us joy and new life for those who don't yet have it. And would you confirm all your works in our hearts as we seek to walk with you? Amen. The Bible words for spirit are ruach in the Hebrew and pneuma in the Greek. And I don't normally tell you those things because mostly you don't need to know them. But it's quite helpful when we think about the Holy Spirit to know that, because those words also mean wind and breath. So Jesus, for example, when he's talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he says, the wind blows wherever it wants to. And he uses the wind because spirit and wind are the same word. He says, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind. But you can't see the wind. A gentle breeze might rustle the leaves of the trees. A great wind might uproot the tree and leave it in your front garden. Or as it did in the case of my Duke of Edinburgh expedition, nick all the tents and take them down the hill and hide them in the woods. But who here has ever seen the wind? I think probably put the next slide up, Harry, if you would do. There we are. Who's ever seen the wind? Little gentle breeze possibly a slightly more traumatic breeze, and the wind farm doing not a lot. I'm sure if it was video, you'd see them turning a little bit. Or who's ever seen their breath? Next one. Maybe on a cold day, you can see the effect of your breath sort of condensing in front of you. But I wonder if you've ever seen your breath. Well, you can't, but you can see the effect of your breath. So I'm going to need a volunteer. Who would like a muffin? Edie, it is soy-free. Muffin, come on. I didn't ask your parents' permission, so all you've got to do to get the muffin is make the candle go out without breathing on it or touching it. Just think it. Go out, go out, go out. Is it working? Okay, do you want to blow it out? Okay, there we are. That is the effect of our breath. We see our breath, don't we? Well done, Edie. You're back to your seat. Your mum will decide whether you can eat the cake now. We don't see our breath, but we see the effect of our breath, don't we? Or how about, I'm going to try this, and for the one person here who was with us this morning at St. Luke's, well, I couldn't get this to work at all. It isn't working again. Normally, you can see the effect of your breath by when you blow into a balloon, can't you? I think I'm blowing past the opening. I should have to invest in some slightly better balloons next time I do this. You can see the effect of your breath. You blow it into a balloon and it makes the balloon expand. You don't see your breath, but you see the effect of your breath. And so it is, says Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. You don't see the Holy Spirit, but you see the effects of the Holy Spirit. So I want us to think about that in a couple of ways this morning together. We're going to think about the big story of the Bible from beginning to end and how the Holy Spirit is really important all the way through. And then we're going to think about who the Holy Spirit is to us, how he is God loving us and working with us personally. So let's start with that reading from Genesis 1. If you haven't got your Bibles open, please do turn back there. Page 3, it's easy to find. We're taken to the chaos that existed before the creation, before the universe was formed into light and matter. And we're told that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. He's right there at the beginning, isn't he? Before the beginning, really. In fact, he helped to create it all. After all, God spoke words, that's Jesus, but we won't go into that at this point. And his words were carried on his breath, the Spirit. So let's try this. So I think there's a slide further on, Harry. Brilliant. I want us all to say this together. Okay, so we can do it. Okay, so with me, I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal and mineral. I know the kings of England, and I quite the fact it's historical. From marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. Now, all you've got to do is the same thing, but on the in-breath rather than the out-breath. Okay, can we try that? So breathe out, and then as you're breathing in, say that, okay, together. I am the very model of a modern major general. You feel your lungs collapsing, don't you, very quickly? Because our words come out on our breath outwards, don't they? They don't come into us, they come out from us. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. The words of God are carried out on his breath, his Spirit, to accomplish his purposes. Next slide, Harry, thank you. And the next one as well. The Holy Spirit is God. He's the one who created the world. And actually in the Bible, that means we should worship him because he's the creator. The Holy Spirit is God, but there's more than that. The Holy Spirit is God on a mission. I want to drop down into two particular ways in which the Holy Spirit is breathed out by God as part of his plan in the Bible. I think we've just read it actually in the Creed that Jesus, the Holy Spirit came on Mary, brought to life Jesus in the womb. And again, he turns up in the Gospels. At all of the baptism accounts, Jesus comes to John the Baptist and he's baptized in the Jordan River. And as he comes out, the words of the Father, this is my beloved Son. And the presence of the Spirit is symbolized by a dove. The Spirit's invisible. So we have to have a sort of picture so we understand what's going on. But that isn't the Holy Spirit making Jesus into God. That would be a very big mistake. We don't believe that. But it is a way of the Holy Spirit saying, I'm with you, Jesus, in your mission. So everything that Jesus does, all his teachings, his miracles, his death and resurrection, are done with the approval of the Father. This is my beloved Son. And with the presence of the Holy Spirit. They're at work together. The Holy Spirit is at work in the mission of Jesus. And even when Jesus goes back into heaven, the Holy Spirit hasn't stopped his work. In Impact this term, our older children's group on Friday night, we're looking at the book of Acts, which is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus in the world. That Holy Spirit who carried the message of Jesus, who created the world, is also at work creating the Bible. So Paul says, I think here, all Scripture is God-breathed, literally, spirited out, given by the Holy Spirit. The Bible was written by people, says the Apostle Peter, as they were carried along by the Spirit. The words of God, the Bible, is the creation of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is invisible to us, but he made the world. He's at work in the life of Jesus, and he's created the Bible, a record of the life of Jesus, for us. That's the big picture. That's amazing, isn't it? The Holy Spirit is at work in the big picture of history, but he's also a person who's at work. He loves us, and he's at work in the church as well. The Holy Spirit recorded amazing things for us in the Bible, but lots of people look at the Bible. Maybe this is something you've experienced even recently. You open the Bible, you try to read it, and it makes no sense at all. It might as well be in double Dutch. But then one day you're reading the Bible, and all of a sudden everything seems to swim into focus. It's like all of a sudden you've got the lenses on. It's like your mind unscrambles, and you can suddenly read it and make sense of it. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is a spiritual thing, and it's spiritually understood. And if you can't yet understand the Bible, do come and talk to me. I'd love to pray with you that the Holy Spirit would open your eyes. Jesus tells Nicodemus, actually, you won't understand these things until you're born again. That is born by the Spirit, he says. Given new life. We call that regeneration. It just means being given new life by the Holy Spirit. Every Christian is a born-again Christian. Do you know that? By the Spirit of God. I think sometimes, though, we can think that the Holy Spirit comes and makes us Christians and then leaves again, which is a very grave mistake. Very grave mistake. No, the Spirit is here to help us all the time. So to illustrate this, I need three younger people to come and give me a hand. Who's willing to come to the front? Alice, brilliant. Pat, you coming? Oh, excellent. Well done, you guys. Right. So you might have noticed that I've made a maze in the church. You might be wondering what this tape is all over the place. I've made a maze. And at the end of the maze, if you can find the end, is a prize. So all you've got to do is follow the maze and find the end. Okay, so why don't we send Thomas, why don't you go first? Start here, and you can go either way. If you come to an X, then you've gone the wrong way, and you've got to go back. Okay, so feel free to wander. Okay. Pat, do you want to go next? Start here, and you've got to follow it. You can't, no, you've got to follow it. Thomas, you can't cheat. You've got to follow it. Yes. Means you've got to climb up on the chair and go over the top. Come on. We're all going over the top, are we? It's not the Somme. Right, Alice. You going to have a go? Okay. Do you want to come with me? Okay. We're going to follow those guys. You need to come down. It's very disappointing nobody's gone the other way. Alice, this way. Oh, no. Your brother's in front of you now. Where is it, though? Where is it? You going to follow? Is it under there? That's the question. Has he gone that way? Is it under that way? No. Come this way. Come this way. Alice. Alice. No. You got to go. If you're going to go, go this way. Right. You're going to crawl under there. Go on, Alice. Come on, Alice. Go on. Yeah, there's some spider webs. It's all right. Spiders are on holiday. It's okay. Now what's going to happen, Pat? I should have picked even smaller people, shouldn't I? Oh, I don't know. You can go around the back and have a look. Which way are you going to go? Pat, you've got to choose. You're at the junction first. Which way are you going to go? Okay, brilliant. Alice, come this way. Just you come round, because you can't climb through that space. Go on. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Keep going. No. Let's move that out of the way. Oh, you've got to go. Follow the line. No. Go back. Stop cheating, honestly. Right, Alice, brilliant. Alice, no. Have a look underneath. What have you found, Alice? Do you want to grab, take it down? Take something down? What have you got? It's actually a balloon. Go on. Right, you can all have one. There's one for each of you under there. It's all good. And everybody else is going to have to help me take all the tape off the floor and put it in the bin at the end of this. Not now, but later. Do you want to give one to the boys as well, Alice? You want to give one to Pat? There we are. You can have the banana. It's all good. We'll blow them up later if I can work out how to make it work. It'll be very disappointing otherwise, isn't it? It's just a piece of tinfoil. Never mind. The point of the maze game there is the children were faced with a whole bunch of turning points. Places they could go. They know where they're trying to get. They're trying to get to the prize at the end, but which way are you going to turn? They made lots of wrong turnings along the way. Even Alice, who I was trying to coach along the way, made the occasional wrong turn. It's really helpful, though, isn't it, if you've got the person who's made the maze walking with you. It's helpful if the person who made the maze is there saying, turn left, turn right, go under there. Makes it much easier, isn't it? We face those wrong turns. The Holy Spirit made the world. It's the Spirit's world. And he's spoken to us in the Bible, and he continues to speak to us by him, by being with us, to help us, to guide us when we're not sure which way to go. That's really what Jesus was saying in our second reading. Do turn to John 14 in your Bibles. John 14, page 1082, I think, in most of the Bibles. Jesus is just about to die. He's about to go off to be with his Father. His friends are very, very sad because he's been the one guiding them. He's been the one they followed as he's walked along the path. And now he's gone. They don't know which way to go. And Jesus says, I'm going to go back to the Father. But in verse 16, he says, I'm going to send another advocate, counselor, helper, another one just like me. Jesus was with them for 3 years and showed them how to live God's way, and then he left, and they felt alone. But he was going to send the Holy Spirit, another one who is just like Jesus, a helper, a counselor, and a friend, to be with them, to be in them, to guide them. It's he who guides us through the maze of life. When life is confusing and we're not sure which way to turn, it is the Holy Spirit, by his words, who leads us. He leads us towards holiness because he is the Holy Spirit. He gives us gifts so that we can help each other to know him and to love him more. Isn't that amazing? that God comes to live with his people, to live in every Christian. You might be the youngest Christian or the newest Christian here, and you're quite confused about what to do and where to go. The Holy Spirit is with you to help you. You might be the oldest Christian here. You might feel like your best days are long behind you and you're not really sure why you're still here. The Spirit loves you and is with you to keep you to the end of your race. See, he's the helper who is with us always. Harry, just put up the next slide for us, would you? Brilliant. I need some help here pairing up our characters here. Anyone know who that is? Come on, speak up. Harry Potter, right. Who does Harry pair with? It's really a triplet, I'm afraid, because that's ruined the whole thing, hasn't it? Edie. Hermione and Ron, there they are, looking very young. Excellent. Who should we go to next? Let's do this one. Who's that? Woody. Who does Woody pair with? Buzz Lightyear. Okay, let's try this one for the older folks in the room. Who's this? Jane Torval. Who does Jane Torval pair with? Christopher Dean. It's a bit of a giveaway, the outfits, isn't it? What about this one? Who's this at the bottom here? Doc Brown. Doc Emmett Brown, actually, somebody said. Very good knowledge. Who does Doc Brown pair with? Marty McFly. Excellent. And who's this? Shrek. And who does Shrek pair with? Donkey. Okay. Famous pairs that go together in our imagination, even when we haven't seen them or thought about them for decades. They're just there, aren't they, in our minds. It's as if, in I don't know about you, in my head, Jane Torval and Christopher Dean live in the same house and go everywhere together, because anytime they're ever on TV, they're there as a pair, aren't they? Okay. But here's the truth. Even these unbreakable friendships, these pairs, are not always together, are they? Spoiler alert, at the end of the Harry Potter books, Harry's by himself when he fights Voldemort. And maybe you've got a friend, maybe you've got a close friend, you're on the phone with them all the time, they're around your house all the time, every photo of you has got them, maybe it's your brother or sister, maybe you've just got, there's people that you're just with all the time. But then you go to bed at night and you close the door and you're by yourself. And you can feel alone. Maybe you're about to start a new school or go off to university for the first time and you don't know anybody. What's it going to be like? Am I going to make any friends? Am I going to be all alone? And you feel a little afraid. Perhaps you've been bereaved. And in the quiet moments of the night, when you are by yourself at home alone, you feel it, that loneliness. Perhaps you have, or perhaps you know people who've got health issues that mean that they can't really make it to church anymore. They can't really be out and about with people anymore. They spend a lot of time at home, alone. But a Christian is never, ever alone. God is always with us. From the moment we trust in him for the first time until eternity, there's never a moment where a Christian doesn't have God with them because of the Holy Spirit. We're never abandoned, never isolated, never facing our Voldemorts by ourselves. The God who made the universe, who made us, is with us to guide us and encourage us and to bring us to the end of our race. He is God on a mission. And his mission is to bring each and every one of us to be with him in his eternal kingdom forever. So we don't talk about the Holy Spirit all that much in church, because the Spirit himself points to Jesus in the Bible. And so we listen to the Spirit by looking at Jesus. But we do sing some amazing songs, don't we, that honour the Holy Spirit, that invite him to help us. We sang just a moment ago, we declared the truth that the Spirit is the living breath of God. His work is breathing new life into our souls, bringing Christ to live in us, renewing us and making us whole as he guides our steps. And we're about to sing another song by way of response. It's a prayer. Oh, great God of highest heaven, speaks of the privilege of being the lowly people in whom the Holy Spirit has come to live and how the Spirit has brought new life to our stubborn, sinful hearts when we didn't even want it. So let's honour him now as we sing in response to what we've heard.